This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين Always forever we begin with the praise and the thanks of Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى And we send our love and our greetings, our salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم To his pious and his pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them. Ameen. Ameen alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, today the matric results were released. Doesn't look like there are too many of you that got your results today. I don't know if you go back and think about that moment. And it might be a relative, a cousin, a nephew, a son or a child who's getting their results today and we always talk about the beginning of the academic year, the importance of learning and knowledge, that in our Sharia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't praise people with political power, with armies and countries. Allah doesn't praise people that have money. This is not important to Allah. But He praises the people of learning and knowledge. And when we talk about knowledge, it's not just Sharia knowledge. There is the divine knowledge, and then there is the dunya sciences as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا That always... That he guarantees success to people who have iman, minkum, وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ And he gives the people of knowledge an excellency, a darajat, a level above that, those who don't have knowledge. And so we are a religion of learning. We are a religion of knowledge. It is part of our life. And really to all of us here, if you haven't opened a book, I don't know, since matric, then that's a problem. It's not part of our Sharia. And it is really, if you look at the value of knowledge, we always mention this, the scholars mention this, every blessing Allah gives for free. He gives you your life, your heart beats, without asking anything in return. He even gives money, wealth, for free. People are born billionaires, inherited. People are born kings. The kings of today, they didn't fight to raise an army, they got it for free. Allah doesn't mind. But He will never, ever, ever give knowledge for free. Whether it is dunya knowledge, whether it is accounting knowledge, whether it is science knowledge, if you want something of Allah's knowledge, you need to dedicate time and effort for it. He does not give it for free. Even the Anbiya did not get it for free. And so we usually talk about the importance of knowledge and learning. And those who are successful today, we ask that you use that to change the world, to do something great. Your knowledge is not just there to get a good salary. That's nice to have. But really, your knowledge is there to do something of value and benefit. But today's khutbah is actually dedicated to those who didn't make it, to those who failed, those who are sitting down looking at their results, and it didn't go according to plan. They got rejected from whatever college that they applied to. This week I was part of looking at sub papers, and some make it, some don't make it. We make dua for everybody. But failure is part of life. Failure is something that everybody will experience, will taste in your life. It's a promise from Allah. And for those who are going through a very difficult day today, who are having tough conversations with their family members, with themselves, with us, future seems uncertain. What do we say about that? Failures, setbacks, broken hearts, losing a job, maybe in your career, you didn't get the promotion you wanted, that deal fell through. All this takes a toll on you as a human being. You think about, where do I go from here? And you question your own self-worth. And so from an Islamic perspective, how should we view setbacks and failures? How should we view when things didn't go the way we wanted to? Well, there's two ways of looking at it. There are those who take failure very personally. They look at this moment, this promotion I didn't get, this exam that I failed, and they internalize it and they doubt their self-worth. They feel that this is a permanent situation. I'll never get out of this. And they remain in that and they give up. That is true failure. Whereas the Islamic way of looking at failure or setbacks, it is a lesson to be learnt. Every experience, good or bad, is something that you learn. If you made a mistake, you learn from it. You improve. We don't take it personally. It is a temporary setback. We are always optimistic. And we don't give up and we try better and tomorrow will be better. Remember, this world, success is measured by numbers. How much rands you made at the end of the year profit. How many A's you got on your percentage you got on your script. How many likes on Facebook. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not measure things in numbers. He measures things in terms of sincerity and effort. And even the greatest of people, the best people, people better than you and me, who worked harder than you and me, they did not see the success in their lifetime. Look at this hadith. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, on the day of Qiyamah, I saw many nations. I mean, he's saying, on the day of Qiyamah, I've seen, there will be many, many Anbiya, prophets. Some of the Anbiya, they only had one or two followers. Their whole life's work, they were only able to convince one or two people to follow the path. And then he said, I saw a Nabi, one Nabi, who did not have a single follower. Not anybody followed him. Based on numbers, he was a failure. His mission was a failure. He couldn't even convince his own mother, his daughter, his child, this Nabi of Allah. He failed. So, that's from our analysis. But in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this was a prophet. His life was, his work, his efforts are seen. And he did his part, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards accordingly. Sometimes you have a setback because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never planned for you to achieve that in your life. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds success deliberately. And this is especially for the one who worked hard, who put the effort in and didn't see the results. And there are many people who are disappointed like that. You worked hard in your career, you didn't get the promotion that you deserve. You worked hard and you studied hard, something didn't go well, the occasion, you know, beat you. Why? Why, ya Allah? Of course, the one who didn't work hard and didn't focus and they failed, well, there's no reason, there's no excuse, there's no mystery why. You learn from that and work harder. But for the one who did put the effort in, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reminds you, the one who is skilled in reciting Quran, he says, the one who is skilled in reciting the Quran will have a reward equal to the angels. His status will be like that of the angels. And the one who reads the Quran and he struggles or she struggles and he does so with difficulty, then that person will have a double reward. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you in a tough situation and he does not make success come easily. There are some people where success just seems to come to them, putting in half the effort I do, but things just go their way. Alhamdulillah, it's a blessing of Allah. And for others, Allah makes every inch a battle, every mark a struggle, every rand a fight. You have to work and work and work just for every inch. This Allah does when He really loves somebody and He wants you to apply yourself. And so the reward with Allah is greater. It doesn't feel nice, but it's greater. Sometimes your failure or your setback is so that Allah, you wanted this thing so bad. You wanted this person to marry this person so bad, and it didn't go your way. Perhaps this was a setback so that you could find a better path to success. And we look at the seerah, the Prophet ﷺ's mission. For 13 years, for 10 years, he's calling, he's preaching to the people of Mecca, and they are not following him. He's basically, if you think of him as a salesman, he's a failure as a salesman. He's not able to share or spread his religion. And during Hajj time, he would have a meeting with all the big chiefs. He would schedule, because on Hajj, all the chiefs would come to Mecca. So he had a whole list of big chieftains that he was going to give da'wah to. And he met with them. And Hajj is a whole week. And one after the other, they reject him. They slam the door in his face. They make him feel really bad. And nothing is going according to plan. And he's on his way home after a long day of rejection. He's on his way home and he passes by the Jamarat, Aqaba, and he sees six Hajis sitting there. Six ordinary unknown people, not chiefs, not big guys. And he just says to them, look, he's now sold the presentation to the big chiefs, the kings of Arabia. They all said no. He meets six random people and he said, where are you guys from? And they said, we're from Yathrib. He said, oh, Yathrib, Medina? Like, yeah. Do you mind if I speak to you about my religion? They said, okay, fine. We can have a chat. And these six people, they gave the Nabi Sallam a few minutes. He spoke to them about Islam. They were so impressed and amazed about this message because they've heard a similar thing from the Jewish tribes in their city. And they accepted Islam. They said, we promise we'll come back next year. We'll tell our people and we'll come back next year. Meet us again at Hajj at Aqaba. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is just six guys. Okay, he probably even didn't think much about it. Following year, he met them again. They doubled to 12. And they said, our people are ready for your message. And as we know, the history is, you know, subhanAllah, Medina would embrace Islam. Medina would become the first capital of the Ummah. Medina would change the world. That same six people, their city, an unknown dot on the map, within 10 years would be the leading civilization on earth, conquering the Romans and the Persians. One chance meeting between the Nabi Sallam and six random people on the side of the road changed history. But that was after years of feeling like I failed. Years of feeling I'm not going forward. And you never know when Allah has placed that success. When is that moment of success? And if we look beyond Islam, we look at, you know, people in the world. The most successful people in the world, whether it is in academics, scientists, billionaires, writers, sports people, they will tell you how often they failed. Einstein, for example, I don't know if you know, he was so poor. He studied when he was done graduating. Nobody wanted to employ him. He wasn't seen as anything special. He was selling insurance, door-to-door insurance. Albert Einstein knocking your door for insurance. But of course, he kept working at his research. And again, they said the rest is history. J.K. Rowling, the lady who wrote Harry Potter, she was basically almost homeless, living on welfare, writing her script on the side that no one would really believe would become something great. And the wealthiest author in the world, Michael Jordan, couldn't make his high school basketball team. Was cut from his high school basketball team. Wasn't good enough, but became the greatest basketball player. And all these people will tell you that it wasn't, our success is not the absence of a setback. We failed and we had setbacks and we, you know, made our mistakes over and over. But what made us different is we did not give up. We kept going. I even saw, I was looking up at famous people that failed. Colonel Sanders, the chicken KFC guy. He was bankrupt up until the age of like 70. Nobody wanted his recipes. 1,000 restaurants rejected him. And he kept going. I think at some point your wife tells you, look here now, if it didn't happen after 70 years, you know, Buddha, it's not going to happen. But the guy kept at it, and you know. So subhanAllah, this is the part of success is dealing with those setbacks. And it's almost a natural part of success. And at some point in life, as we said, from a Sharia perspective, we know Allah promises you, you are not going to get it all your way. You need to feel and experience a setback and a failure so that Allah can allow you to feel your dependency on Him. And also, because success breeds complacency. Some of the greatest people that could have achieved so much, they're potentially stunted because they found success early, they became comfortable, and they were never pushed out of their comfort zone. The Nabi says, remember Allah in your times of ease so that He will remember you in your times of difficulty. Meaning that there is a promise. If things are good today, tomorrow perhaps things will become difficult. So remember Him. So for those who didn't make it, those who are going through a setback, whether in your career, in your marriage, in your studies, what should you do now? What can I do now to help the situation? How do I move forward? So the first thing, as we mentioned, you know, don't give up. The world has not come to an end. It might feel like rock bottom, but you have survived. One of the great things of realizing your biggest fear is once you've taken the knock, and you're still alive, and you're still standing, and your family's still with you, you realize sometimes the fear of something going wrong is actually worse than it materializing. And when you've confronted it and you took it head on, and you look at the sun will rise tomorrow, I will still be okay, I'm still going to be here, then you almost feel bulletproof. I can take this knock again. And it gives you the courage to try a second time. And I guess that is the reason why some of the most successful people, when we talk about success in terms of money and in terms of career, why they are so successful is because they didn't fear failure. They experienced it so many times, they said, you know what? Going bankrupt again, it's part of the deal. So don't give up. And it's sometimes very difficult for people who've never experienced a setback before to throw in the towel and give up very easily. That's not part of our Sharia. That's not part of our deen. And that's not part of the lessons. If you look at the Quran, subhanAllah, it almost seems like those who will be successful in Qiyamah have a rough time on the dunya. And those who have the best time on the dunya, the Fir'auns of the world, they are the ones who failed. And so our measure of success and failure, we need to look at that. So don't ever give up. And try again and keep trying again. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in that beautiful hadith about optimism, a hadith which we've spoken about so many times, he said that if Qiyamah, the trumpet had been blown, and the day of judgment was upon us, and you had a plant in your hand, then put that in the ground. Even though I know it will never flourish, that plant will never see. It's the day of judgment, it's over, there is no tomorrow. But our intention and our hope for a better tomorrow is what makes us Muslim. That's what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged. We do not look at the results. The results are with Allah. Our job is to put in the effort and to keep trying and to keep pushing and to persevere and to remember that everything is in the hands of Allah. We don't give up. Sometimes, yes, there is a lesson to be learned that we should try something different. Persevering doesn't mean trying the same, what is it, the definition of madness is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Sometimes trying something different doesn't mean that you give up. Sometimes we have to take advice. Sometimes we have to look at things differently. Sometimes the path that you're on was not meant for you. That there is something better for you. As I mentioned in the case of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he believed that these tribal chiefs in Riyadh or in Yemen, this is where Islam needed to go. Medina was not on his mind that this is where Islam was going to survive. He didn't even really know, where is this place, Medina? And Allah had decreed that is where success is going to be. The path where your success, my success lies, we don't know. It belongs to Allah. And that's why all we can do is put ourselves out there, try our best, and then make dua, Ya Allah, guide me to what is best for me. Guide me. You know and I don't know. And so try the path that Allah has given you. I also, I watch a lot of TED Talks when I do this lecture, and they mention, educational psychologists mention that one of the failures in the way we teach our kids now is we want them to specialize early. Like from a very early age, you must know what you want with it. Sports, you're going to be a soccer player, so you can start now. They call it the Tiger Woods method, where from the earliest ages, dad told them you're going to be a golf player, and yes, you will be successful. But that is bad in the sense that you've never experienced multiple avenues. Whereas the world that we live in, you need to be adaptable. You need to change your plan and have enough skills. Have enough skills that if plan A doesn't work, you can land onto plan B. And for us as parents, most of you here, as I said, your matric results came out a long time ago. It's a bit late now to change that path for you. But the way when we raise our kids, to tell them it's okay to try, and to not to fail, but not to, that if you try your best and it doesn't go well, it's okay. Keep trying. And try different things. Don't give up. Don't go for the path of least resistance. When things get tough, then I want to change. Okay, now school isn't so nice, I'm going to go do hifz. Hifz's not so nice, now I want to become something else. No, you will give it its full haq. But to find where you really fit takes a while, and it's a bit of trial and error. And so we as parents need to encourage our kids to try different things, to experience different things, to look at harnessing different skills. And then, of course, to put your hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, success is not guaranteed. There are great people who work harder than all of us, that are smarter than all of us, who will live, from our perspective, a life that is very mediocre. Allah knows who they are. We don't know. And Allah has given success and power and might to people we can see don't deserve it. This is the decree of Allah. It's how Allah works. How Allah gives success and failure is belongs to Him. And for each and every one of us, our path of life, His objective is that we achieve Jannah. He puts us on a path that we'll achieve Jannah. And so in a hadith, we close off, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions the strong believer. By strong, it only means, doesn't only mean physically strong, but yes, to those of you who gym, it counts as well. The strong believer, the successful believer, the independent believer, the believer who helps others, the one who can stand his ground, is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. Allah loves the independent, strong, successful person more than the one who is struggling and weak. Although, the hadith says, both are good. Allah loves them both. Both are believers, He loves them as well. But the strong one, the one who puts his effort and does get success, Allah loves this one more. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, strive to do that which will benefit you. Work hard. Put in the effort. Make the time. Study. Fight for that deal. Fight. Don't give up. Don't expect things to fall in your lap. Strive for that which will benefit you. And seek the help of Allah. Two things. You put in the effort, and then you put your trust in Allah. You make the effort, and then you put tawakkal in Allah. So do those two things. Strive hard. You do your part, and you put your trust in Allah. And don't feel helpless when things don't go your way. If you've done your part, and really I wish we can say this to our kids when they give us news, that if you genuinely did your part, if you really put the effort in and it didn't go your way, you shouldn't feel bad. You shouldn't blame yourself. You shouldn't beat yourself up. You've done your part. Allah does not ask you beyond that. Don't feel helpless. And then the Prophet says, and if anything befalls you, meaning negative, if anything didn't go your way, don't say, Lola, Lola, not a person's name. Do not say, if only I did that and that and that. If only. Don't live in the cycle of regret. Don't say, if only this, if only that. That such and such would have happened. If I did that, that would have happened. If I didn't do that, the Prophet says, don't go down that road. Rather, you should say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. It is the will of Allah and the decree of Allah. This happened by Allah's decree. For Lola, the Prophet says, that word, if only, opens the door of shaitan. It begins, it's a seed that will plant doubts and make you lose your trust in Allah. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet says, a beautiful dua, a dua that we should recite daily, a dua that we should try and memorize. The Prophet says, Allahumma aslih li dini, alladhi huwa ismatu amri. Oh Allah, make sure that, set right my deen, which is the foundation of my life. Everything is secondary, but make me a good Muslim. That's the priority. Ya Allah, fix my deen. Wa aslih li dunyaya allati fiha ma'ashi, and make my dunya good for me, Ya Allah. Bless me in my dunya, because I live in this world. I need to exist in this world. Make it easy for me. Wa aslih li akhirati allati fiha ma'adi, and make my akhirah the best for me. Where is my ultimate place of destination is my akhirah. Make my akhirah good for me. وَجَعَلْ حَيَاتَ زِيَادَ لِي فِي كُلِّ خَيْرٍ, and let my life, let every day, let tomorrow only be an increase in goodness. Let every day be a good day. Let as long as I live, my days be an increase in goodness. وَجَعَلْ الْمَوْتَ رَاحَةً لِي مِنْ كُلِّ شَرٍ, and let my death be a relief from all my sadness. Let, when death comes to me, let it be a relief. Let me be happy to meet Allah the day I die. May Allah grant this for all of us. Success in our deen, success in our dunya, success in the akhirah. Let our life be an increase in goodness, and our death be a mercy and a return to Allah in goodness. Ameen. Ameen. Just one announcement. We have an orphan program tomorrow. We're taking our orphans out, there's about 75 of them, to the aquarium and to the battery park, I think, there at the waterfront. If anybody would like to sponsor one, I think it's like 200 rand, 250 an orphan. No compulsion, but inshallah, what a good way to make it easy for those who don't have parents. So please support, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ul-sanin. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.